Sergeant keeping late hours. Come on, Tully. We're both wide awake. Well, what is it that is,
I'm terribly sorry, sir. And Mrs. Gregg. How is he?
Still unconscious.
But surviving, thank God. Why aren't you in bed?
I'm just going off duty, sir. Are they going to charge Roland Lewis?
Bloody idiots.
Well, he's made all sorts of incriminating statements. He was certainly in the wood when she was there, dead or otherwise.
I see. But that's not why you called.
No, sir. I wanted to find out how your son was getting on and... And to warn you, there's an almighty row brewing over our talk with those boys this afternoon.
Thanks. I rather expected it. But in view of what's happened to Pete, it doesn't matter a tuppenny damn, does it?
Yes. I see. Yes, I'll do that. Thank you very much.
Which one was it?
The ward's sister. He's still unconscious, but otherwise progressing satisfactorily. She sounded quite hopeful.
That's good.
She told me he also has a broken arm and collarbone. Apparently they regard those as minor injuries.
Comparatively speaking, I suppose they are.
I'm going round to see him after 10. The surgeon will have been round by then.
I'll come with you.
And what about work?
What about yours?
The head was very nice. Told me to take off the day and not to come until Peter was out of danger. He will get better, won't he, Andy?
Nothing surer.
You're not just saying that.
No, of course not. You won't cry?
No. No, I'll save it for later. Have you got permission to take time off?
No.
Oh, Andy, you should.
Ah, they'll ring if they want me. Jane Tully will have put Harrigan in the picture.
She seems nice.
We're a detective sergeant.
No, nice. She's not your usual sergeant. That's Trotter, isn't it?
He's just had his appendix nicked. And he's happily recuperating. Tully was allocated yesterday. One of Harrigan's stupid jokes.
Good at her job.
Very nasty when she wants to be.
More coffee?
No.
What was that about the school?
No, it's just something stupid I did yesterday.
What?
Questioned some of the lads at Obday's on their own after Harrigan had ordered me to do it only in the presence of staff. I needn't worry about going to work. I'm probably suspended anyway.
Oh, Andrew, why?
Why a lot of things these days? Oh, I was just being bloody-minded after our lunchtime sparring match over to school, and Harrigan's official crap got up my nose.
Not very clever with a promotion application in.
Not very clever, full stop. That's why I'm jagging it in. I'm doing too many daft things. I don't know why.
You need a holiday.
No, I need a different job. It driven me hard, Pat. Body and soul, too many hours, too many days. It's beginning to show.
Why don't you take a break? Go sick.
I'm not sick.
I don't mean physically.
You think I'm going balmy?
I didn't say that. But I'm sure you should see a doctor.
No, thanks. I'll hang on for a year, then get out. Before my wife leaves me, I hope.
Who said that?
Your mum said.
She shouldn't have.
True, though. It's plain enough to see we've been poisoned for each other for the last 2 or 3 years.
That hasn't been much fun.
No fun at all.
You changed.
We both changed.
Yes. Yes, you're right. First 5 years, you made teaching look dull. But I grew out of envying you and your mates in Shorty Macs and ridiculous Attaboy trilbies roaring round the town in souped-up cars like so many junior G-men.
So did I.
Yes. But when I wanted a husband and the kids wanted a dad, all I got was a dedicated policeman growing harder and more casual year by year.
Casual, maybe. Not so hard.
Oh, yes. You go on talking about policemen with social responsibilities, but there isn't tuppence to choose between you and Jack Wallace or Harrigan or any of them. You're just another hard-nosed Jack. And I don't like it.
You got all the right words.
I learned them from you.
Am I so bad?
Pretty bloody awful.
I suppose it's too late to say I'm sorry.
Yes. If we're into the truth game.
At long last we are, it seems. Well, can we put the bits together?
I don't know. I don't think I want to.
Well, I do. It's why I'm resigning, but I can't guarantee the change. Not even with Peter's accident.
I know.
Well, what happens if we split?
There's a headship coming up at Tower Walk. It's mine if I apply.
You'll apply?
Wouldn't you?
Take the kids?
If you wouldn't mind too much. Oh, poor old Peter.
Yeah. Blow away until 10:30. Come on, get your coat on. We'll go and see how he is now.
Right, Andrew, cool off. That's an order.
Stuff your order. I came in as per instructions. Don't expect gratitude. My lad's in intensive care. His mother's feeling pretty sick about it. I ought to be with her, not here.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. The chief constable insisted. This is the Reverend Dr. John Cartwright.
How do you do?
Inspector Gregg, I had no idea your son was so badly injured. I do hope he'll pull through.
They say he's got a good chance.
Dr. Cartwright is the headmaster of the Hobday School.
I see.
The chief constable insisted on an official apology, which I've offered Dr. Cartwright on behalf of the force, and a personal apology from you as the officer involved.
What for?
I hope I don't have to tell you that.
Well, someone does.
I think perhaps, Chief Superintendent, we can dispense with this formality. I have not asked for, nor do I require, any apology from Inspector Gray.
I take it there's been an official complaint.
No. Dr. Cartwright informed us that the normal and agreed procedure for talking to his boys has not been complied with.
So, this is just a domestic kick up the backside for me in front of a member of the public?
No.
Then what the hell is it?
An opportunity, I hope, Inspector, to confirm your opinion that the boys practicing in the nets had observed the girl and her assailant.
Wallace has seen the boys in the presence of Dr. Cartwright and taken statements. Dr. Cartwright and the boys were extremely cooperative and were most grateful.
They saw the girl?
Yes, between 4 and 4:15.
On the path?
Yes.
Everything normal?
Yes, she watched them playing for a minute or two before walking on. It's all in the statement.
And her assailant?
Roland Lewis, without a doubt.
Without a lineup?
Later this morning.
You said her assailant, Dr. Cartwright?
Yes.
The boys saw her being attacked?
Oh, no! No, they merely described the man following the girl. I use the word assailant unwisely, perhaps.
Reacting to statements concerning Mr. Lewis made by Inspector Wallace and Mr. Harrigan, perhaps.
Well, yes, I suppose, yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry I threw off the handle.
Oh, that's all right. I quite understand.
I also apologize for quizzing your lads unofficially.
Oh.
All right, Mr. Harrigan. Dr. Cartwright?
Oh, yes. Really unnecessary, but accepted, certainly, without reservation.
A rush of enthusiasm that got out of hand, I'm afraid. Good lads, are they?
Oh, very good.
Reliable?
Yes.
Trustworthy?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Lester is a first-class young man. Head boy designate. Superb sportsman. Academically, very sound.
Born leader.
Oh, if there is such a thing. He certainly has a charismatic personality.
I noticed the others took orders from him almost without question.
Hmm. Thompson and Rolleston would, of course. They've run their school courses in his shadow for 4 or 5 years.
What about Trevor Walker?
Ah, you noticed. The odd man out. Parents abroad, you know. No games to speak of. Patchy as far as studies are concerned. I must say I was very pleased when Lester took the boy under his not inconsiderable wing last year.
Very nervous, I thought.
His stammer, you mean?
No, not just that. I got the impression he was a bit scared of the others.
Hmm. You certainly absorbed a great deal in your brief talk, Inspector.
Not difficult, sir, when staff are absent. Throws them on their own resources.
Now, that may be true, Inspector, but their resources are not much of a match for those of a couple of very experienced police officers. I have a duty to my boys and parents, which is just as valid as yours is to the public.
True.
I mean, would you want your... I'm sorry, I forget that.
Point taken, sir. I would not like either of my children interrogated by police without an adult present to see fair play.
I do hope your boy recovers fully.
So do I.
I understand his name is on our applicant list for entry next year.
Yes, his mother is very keen on him joining the school.
Can I say we will take into account any difficulties your boy may face following his accident?
That's very reassuring. Mind you, Without his broken bones, I doubt he'd make your 4th 11 at cricket. But he's a very passable fisherman and a fervent supporter of the local rugby league club.
And what was all that about?
What?
Well, roaring like a wounded bull and for no damn reason, suddenly turning the penitential cheek.
Yeah, I'm tired. It's been nearly 3 days since I had a real sleep. Temper flares, but I can't keep it up. Anyway, I let you off the hook.
Yeah, you could say that. On the other hand, it also got you off the hook.
Well, I see that.
That's not unusual these days. How long have we known each other?
Huh? Oh, well, 18, 19 years, long enough.
Yeah, long enough for you to forget the difference in rank.
Oh, there you...
And don't give me any crap about injustice. You stuck because you deserve to be stuck. You're loud-mouthed, insubordinate, and incapable of working in harness with the rest of the squad.
I get results.
Yeah, so do the others. And they don't break every rule in the book like you. I'm warning you officially, Andrew. Step out of line again and I'll recommend we boot you out of the force, right?
Right. I intend leaving next year anyway.
Yeah, so I hear.
You should be pleased.
Oh, no, not really. Given time, you make a reasonable copper. And I'll miss your bolshy nonsense. Enter.
All right now, sir. We saw his nibs departing.
Come in, Jack. Shut the door, Tully.
What's this, then? Official welcome of the return of the black sheep into the flock?
I thought while you were here, we'd catch up on progress reports.
What progress? I heard Jack's charge Rolo.
Hang about, Andy. We haven't confirmed the boy's identification of him yet. You've heard about it, I take it?
Loud and clear. You got a lovely plug from Mr. Harrigan. All things bright and beautiful for the chief inspector. Well, what do you think of them?
The lads?
Yeah.
First rate. Make bloody good witnesses. All the right attitudes and crystal clear when it comes to detail. They had our friend Lewis down to his last missing button.
They all gave the same description?
Well, give or take a few minor discrepancies.
What about Linda?
Not so clear. Oh, they'd seen a girl all right, but needed a bit of prodding to get a description right.
Funny lads these days.
Oh.
All eyes for a shabby old flasher and none for an attractive member of the opposite sex. Not like that in my day, eh, Danny?
No, sir.
Can we get on?
I'm sorry. No other candidates?
No.
Well, what about McCallum?
Nasty customer, but he has his movements covered.
Check them, haven't we?
No, check him.
Do we pursue him over the other business?
We do.
What other business, Greg?
Tully got him halfway to admitting carnal knowledge of the girl.
But his daughter?
She wasn't his daughter.
How do we prove it now she's dead?
Hammer his alibi, scare the daylights out of him, and lean on Mrs. Riley. She knew what was going on, all right. And she'll tell us. We'll have Mr. Bloody McCallum. Your fine boys didn't see anyone resembling him by any chance?
Sorry, no. Just Lewis. He'll do for me.
Yes, all the same, we'll go on checking information and follow up the other known deviants.
Oh, of course, yeah. Standard procedure to the last letter.
Yeah, when you're watertight on Lewis, let me know.
Another 48 hours, I reckon.
Suit you, Greg.
Huh? Yeah, fine.
No sharp points to make?
No. Oh, I'd like a final chat with Rolo Lewis.
Help yourself. He's the one, Andy.
I'm not arguing, Jack.
Makes a change.
You'd be taking a day or two off after that.
Huh?
Oh, time off to see your lad.
Yeah, time off.
You've no objection, have you, Jack?
No. I hope he gets on all right.
Thanks. Well, get off then.
Would you be needing a car?
No, I'll go walk about. The exercise will do me good.
Come on, Rolo. Whichever way you move, I've got you.
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Gregg. What about this?
Amateurish. Here we go. One gone for a Burton.
How about this, then?
Hang about, three pieces at a time.
And you can king this one for me.
Stone the crows, you'll be asking for bail next. Well, that alters it, doesn't it?
A bit.
So, you didn't kill her?
No.
But what happened?
Well, I'm often down there.
In the wood?
Yes.
Any reason?
Well,
I can guess. Work your way round there.
Oh, that's rough, Mr. Gregg.
Drafts at the highest level, Rolo. You been anywhere near little girls lately?
Not one, Mr. Gregg. Not one since you had me in here last.
And warned you, if you ever did it again, I'd break every bone before getting out my pocket knife, remember?
Yes, Mr. Gregg.
Well, help yourself another fag, then.
Thanks, Mr. Gregg.
So tell me again about Linda.
She was lying on the grass.
Dead?
Yes. I didn't know it when I saw her.
Go on.
She was,
undressed?
Yes.
So what did you do?
I touched her.
Touched her?
Yes. With my hands. I kissed her. I admit I kissed her.
You'd never seen a girl without clothes before?
No. Oh, yes. In the boots.
Not like Linda, though?
No.
Well, what did you think?
I don't know. I was frightened.
What?
Well, somebody might find her.
You wanted to keep her for yourself?
Of course I did. That's why I carried her to my den.
You got a den, have you?
Yes. That's where I hide to live. Well, that's where I hide.
So you carried her to your den?
Yes. Then I covered her with leaves and things.
Why?
So nobody would find her. I wasn't going to hurt her, Mr. Gregg. I just wanted to keep her for myself.
But she was dead, Rolo.
I didn't know. I thought she was asleep.
Did you? Now, I want you to listen very carefully. Understand?
Yes, Mr. Gregg.
Rolo, did you hurt Linda in any way?
No.
You didn't try to...
I wouldn't do that, Mr. Gregg. You know I only wanted to touch.
Yeah, I know that, Rollo. Well, I'll see what I can do.
Oh, thank you. What about our game?
Stop the claim! You killed
her! No, I didn't!
You killed her!
No, I didn't!
You dirty, stinking pervert! You killed her!
Never!
Got her to take of her clothes?
No!
Interfered with her?
No, I didn't!
Then killed her!
No!
Go on, admit it!
I didn't! I didn't!
You smell, don't you?
Yes!
You lie!
Yes!
You put your dirty hands on little girls!
Not now! No,
you...
I do!
You killed Linda Riley!
Never, Mr. Gregor, never! God's my witness, Mr. Gregor! I never hurt her at all!
All right, now. Get up. And stop blubbering. For now, I'll believe you. But God help you if you've been lying.
I haven't, Mr. Craig. Honest, I haven't.
Sorry about the drafts. But you'd have lost anyway. You're a born loser, Rollo. And it takes one to know one.
Hello, Inspector.
Huh? Oh, hello, Sally. Everything okay?
So-so. We've been looking for you.
Me? Have I lost him?
Well, yes. At least no one knew where you'd gone.
I'm just thinking things out. I'm feeding the ducks a few bricks. No bread on you, I suppose.
No.
Pity.
Your wife rang the station twice. She was expecting you at the hospital.
Was she?
Yes. When you didn't arrive, she rang in.
So you put out an alert on the radio?
No. I drove slowly along various possible routes to the hospital, and one passed by the park entrance. I came in on the off chance. You ought to ring her.
I will.
She said to tell you if I saw you, Peter regained consciousness around 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock?
This afternoon. He's doing fine, and so are the others.
Others?
Well, there were 4 other casualties when the minibus hit the bridge. 3 children and a teacher, and none of them badly hurt.
Good.
You didn't know?
Probably, I'd... Oh, I must have forgotten in the general confusion.
Mm. Well, apparently nearly all the staff and kids from school have rung or sent flowers to the hospital.
Oh, that's nice.
Don't you think you ought to make a move?
I suppose so.
It's after 6.
Getting cold now, isn't it?
Have you been here all day? I mean, since you saw Roland Lewis?
I think it's very likely.
Well, don't you know?
Well, I don't remember exactly.
Are you not well, sir?
Just thinking things out. I meant to go.
To the hospital?
I don't think why I didn't.
Well, at least the news is good.
Very odd. I walked past the place. I remember that.
I think you're very tired.
Yeah, I am a bit.
You've been overworking for months. It stands to reason something's going to give.
You think I'm going round the bend?
Not at all.
God, it's not like me to back off Tully, you know?
So I understand.
It's just that I've developed this bug. I blow up into a right old paddy, then suddenly nothing matters and I deflate like a punctured tyre. I almost thumped Harrigan this morning.
Literally?
Fists and all.
Why?
Oh, he was coming, the old Sergeant Major act in front of Cartwright. Fortunately, I went off the boil in time. A nice chap, Dr. Cartwright.
I think we ought to go.
Trouble is, I'm losing me grip. Don't know whether I want to stay in the force or go. Just going on in fits and starts. Just getting a bit of pain in the arse.
You do pretty well, I'd say.
I'm glad about Peter.
Of course you are.
Yeah. Very glad. He's a nice lad.
So everybody thinks. Can I ask you a question, sir? A personal one.
Ask away, Sergeant.
How long is it since you saw your doctor?
Oh, Foster? Oh, years. Had my usual physical last February. Ha! Oh, good God, Tully, apologies all round. Here I am inflicting my rambling nonsense on you when you're really cursing me for keeping you from your tea, and rightly so.
Oh, that's all right, sir.
I'll tell you what. You give me a lift home in your car and I'll buy you a drink in the Saracen's Arms on the way. How's that for a deal?
Fine.
And not a word about this taradiddle to anyone, right?
Not a word,
good.
Sir.
Good. Any developments at the ranch?
Well, we blew a hole in McCallum's alibi.
Good.
Well, not so good, really. He was nowhere near a betting shop, never was. He was driving a taxi all afternoon and can prove it.
But wanted to keep it quiet.
Yes, he's drawing unemployment pay and supplements it illegally by part-time work.
So, we get nicked for something.
Oh, but not much.
Enough in these sensitive times. What about the other?
No, not a thing. He's a tough nut to crack, and Vivian Riley's backing him to the hilt. Never touched the girl, never so much as looked at her.
Lying slap. Funny thing, loyalty, isn't it?
In her case, yes. He doesn't give a damn about her. Oh, and one other thing. Dr. Ferguson dropped another report in. Linda was 2.5 months pregnant.
Poor little devil.
Yeah.
I doubt it'll help Roland Lewis. Jack Wallace has got him hanged, drawn and quartered already.
Yeah.
You think he did it?
Yes.
Hot numbered again, Greg.
Well, if he didn't, who did?
Not so many in this town.
But you said yourself it was a very local man.
So I did.
I mean, if we're to spread the net, I might have to ask you the question.
Which question's that?
Where were you 2 afternoons ago?
You've been checking.
Not at home, not at work. 8 a.m. to 6 a.m. not accounted for. 22 hours, Inspector.
Well, ask Annie Distel.
I did, a couple of hours ago.
You little bastard.
Just after 10 p.m, she said, you were drinking pretty heavily. Chatted up the girls, went to bed around 4. Useless in bed, she put it differently.
So?
So you could have been around Barron's Wood when Linda arrived. You admitted yourself you knew the wood well.
Only in the line of duty.
But you knew all about the fence behind the school and the boys playing cricket.
That morning check with the groundsman. No doubt you checked with him.
No, I could. But you see what I mean?
Too bloody well. Nasty, isn't it?
Oh, only if Lewis didn't kill the girl, and everything says he did.
Ever been flashed, Tully?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Twice. It was very unpleasant.
Frightening?
Terrifying, at least the first time.
How old were you then?
Oh, 6-ish. The second time I was in my teens.
And what's your opinion of Rollo Lewis?
I hate the dirty little bastard.
Yeah, it's understandable. A shabby exhibitionist, a child molester. But not a killer.
You sure?
Bet my pension on it.
Then why did you hit him?
Hit him? Who hit him?
You did. This morning. They think his cheekbone could be fractured.
God, I did that.
Well, it was hardly self-inflicted.
There's hell to pay, I expect.
Well, Mr. Harrigan wasn't saying much, but he didn't look all that happy. Very tight-lipped.
Yeah, it's time to go home, I think, and perhaps we'd better postpone that drink to another day when the storm clouds have blown away.
I still don't believe it.
She wouldn't lie.
It's not your style.
What is my style?
Not violence.
Well, it's goodbye to promotion.
Oh, to hell with promotion. It's your whole future at stake, and I don't mean your bloody job.
I can always take up wood carving again.
Don't be stupid.
I was pretty good at wood carving.
Where have you been since 11 this morning?
In Wolsey Park, I think.
You don't know?
Oh, I'm not certain. I was there when Tully found me, about 6, throwing stones at the bloody ducks.
Why didn't you come to the hospital?
I think I set off to come.
7 hours lost.
So Tully told me.
Totally blank?
Totally.
What is it, Andrew?
God knows. The end result of 5 lousy years.
Does anybody else know, apart from your sergeant?
No, and Tully will keep her mouth shut.
I'll make an appointment for you to see the doctor.
Yeah, in a day or two.
Tomorrow.
No.
You're being silly.
Maybe. It's good news about Pete.
Yes.
How long will it take?
He'll probably be out within a month, and with luck, we'll be back to normal in 3 or 4 months.
It could have been worse. Cartwright said they take the accident into account when they consider his application.
Which Cartwright?
Dr. Cartwright, the Rev, Ed Albdays.
You met him?
I ate humble pie about asking his precious lads a few harmless questions against Harrigan's orders.
And what did Harrigan say?
Take 500 lines.
Andrew.
Well, the equivalent. I understand he is not pleased.
Has it happened before?
What?
This blackout thing.
Once? Well, twice maybe, hard to say. Do you know what you did last Wednesday afternoon?
Yes, precisely. Maths, maths, maths with fifth form groups. It's not just a trivial lapse of memory, for God's sake. You're having a breakdown.
No doubt about it, Andrew. In ordinary circumstances, we'd be putting the evidence to the chief and you'd be facing charges of assault.
Well, how bad is he?
He's not so bad. He won't recover by this time tomorrow. Apart from a black eye and a few bruises, but that's not the point.
Jack Wallace won't be pleased.
Bloody furious. Means you'd have to hold on to Lewis another day or two before he dare put him up in front of the magistrate.
You said in ordinary circumstances, Mr. Harrigan.
Yes, Mrs. Gregg.
There's something else?
Well, yes. It's why I'm here and not hauling Andrew into my office.
Worse?
Not in my book.
All right, Tom, get it over.
Right. Well, we're not going to hammer you over Lewis's thumping because we don't think you intended it. In fact, we don't think you were aware you were doing it. Rationally aware, that is.
You mean I'm bloody mad?
I mean exactly what I said.
Oh, I'd sooner take my chance on an assault charge.
No way, Andrew. We're not doing you a favour. We're looking after our own interests. I had Cartwright on the phone a couple of hours ago.
Cartwright? I thought we sorted him out.
Yeah, we did, this morning. This afternoon, apparently, you turned up at the school, harassed a whole gang of lads, threatened to use force on some of them, and scared young Walker to death.
Oh, come on, Tom, pull the other. I was nowhere near the place.
You were near enough to barge into Cartwright's study in order to abuse him, lecture him on the iniquities of the education system, and then burst into tears. Thank God he's an understanding man.
How understanding?
He doesn't want a repeat performance. He thinks you're ill, mentally ill.
And you agree?
He can't be trusted. In my opinion, you're dangerous. I've consulted the chief constable. He agrees that you're to be suspended from duty immediately.
On what grounds?
Well, let's just say medical. Unfit for duties.
Until when?
For 6 months. Unless we receive an earlier psychiatric report that's favourable.
And if you don't get one?
Well, with great regret, compulsory retirement on health grounds. And I'm sorry, Andrew, I really am. It's the best you could hope for.
Thanks. And, thanks for coming to tell me.
Oh, that's all right.
No, I appreciate it. And so does Pat, don't you, love?
Yes. Yes, of course. It's all rather too much to take in.
I'm sorry to be the one to pass on the bad news.
Not your fault. Now have a drink.
Well,
no arguments. We'll all have one. After all, I'll not get much chance to offer anybody one where I'm going for the next month or two.
Hello, Inspector. Sorry.
There's a huge roach just about. Damn, missed him again.
Hello, Tully. What are you doing in these parts?
Getting me feet wet. How about you?
I'm getting fishing lessons from my son. That's him, over there.
He's looking well.
Incredibly fit. Yeah, help yourself the coffee.
Thanks. Do you want some?
After you. Pour some brandy in.
Oh, thank you. You look well.
Sound in wind and limb and mind.
You look it.
Certified as such by some of the smartest psychiatric operators in the business.
You off the drugs?
Practically. How'd you find me?
We've been tracking you.
Just catching up on missing relationships with my son before he starts school again.
When's that?
Next week.
Oh, he's done remarkably well.
Well, within the estimated 6 months.
When do you see him?
Weekends mostly, right now.
There's no...
Pat and me now, if I'm honest. We'd gone a long way down the wrong road before I finally went off the rails.
There's no hope of getting together again.
Always hope. No great faith. Okay, for a lift.
Say where?
Well, drop Pete with his mum at home, then me. I've got a flat down Market Row.
Fine. When you're ready.
Just like old times. Thanks for the lift. Much appreciated.
I could hardly refuse my old boss, could I?
Who are you running with now?
Inspector Marshall.
Young Barber? Oh, he's all right.
Oh, easy to work for.
Unlike others you have known. Here, pull over by the newsagent, will you?
Of course.
You see that creep over there?
What, in the brown jacket and blue trousers?
Yeah, Leslie Asp. He's into minor stuff, peddling dope, receiving knocked-off electrical gear, runs a couple of times, served orders. He's yours.
Do I want him?
All good techs need snouts, and he's the best in town bar none. I'll introduce you.
Now?
No. One evening when I have something you can hang on him.
Thanks.
My pleasure.
Why me?
Well, I owe you for all those visits to the nut hatchery. Anyway, I'll not need snouts in records.
Yeah, they could have done better for you than records.
Oh, I don't know. It'll give me another 6 months on pay to readjust. After all, they could have sacked me.
Suppose so. Was it as bad as it looked?
More or less. Depressing. Have you fared?
Oh, okay. No more murders.
That's something. I see Rolo got life.
As expected.
Poor sod. You have a hard time in jail. They don't like sex offenders, particularly when youngsters are involved.
What happened to McCullum?
Oh, 6 months for gaining money by false pretences.
How?
Yes, Wallace dropped the rest. Said there was no mileage in it.
Probably right. Hello?
What is it?
Young Trevor Walker from the school. Think I'll have a word with him.
Oh, not again, Andrew.
Only to apologise. Come with me to see Fair Play, if you like. It'll give you a chance to appreciate the new improved model at close quarters. Quiet as any sucking dove, I promise you.
I'm totally at a loss, Inspector Gregg. After all the trouble you caused us and yourself, you accost one of my boys again. In public this time.
Cost is a fairly strong term, sir. More of a chat. An apology, if you like, for all the distress my previous actions caused him. There was nothing unpleasant or even official in my talk with the lad. Sergeant Tully can bear that out.
None at all, Dr. Cartwright. Once he'd recovered from his surprise, Trevor was relaxed and cheerful. There was quite a lot of banter between him and the inspector.
Banter? About what?
The magazines he'd just purchased. Girly magazines.
Girly? Oh, I see.
Normal enough for lads of that age, sir.
Maybe. We hardly encouraged literature of that sort in the school.
No, of course not, sir.
But if that was all your meeting with Walker was about, why the deputation?
Perhaps I can explain that, Dr. Cartwright.
Well, I hope you can, Chief Superintendent. One police car at the entrance is bad enough. Two will certainly attract attention.
When Inspector Gregg and Sergeant Tully talked with the boy, it was on a friendly basis to restore good relations. I'm here to assure you that the meeting was exactly as Inspector Gregg has indicated. We had no intention of reopening old wounds.
But the Linda Riley case is now closed, surely?
Mr. Lewis is serving a prison sentence for it, yes, sir.
Then why are you all here? And why have I got my school captain and 3 6-formers outside my door waiting to be interviewed?
Well, sir, just as you don't mark your interest or your records as closed on any of your boys when they leave school, neither do we automatically regard a case as closed when an individual is found guilty and punished, or vice versa. There are often loose ends, little inconsistencies. As a race, policemen don't like loose ends. They disturb us. Wake us up in the middle of the night sometimes.
Yes, yes, Chief Superintendent, I take the point. What are you trying to tell me?
Well, in the course of Inspector Gregg's friendly chat with Mr. Walker yesterday, Mr. Walker said something which, to be absolutely fair to Mr. Lewis, who is, after all, serving a life sentence, needs a little clarification.
And what was this something?
I'd rather not say till we have the boys with us.
I see. And if I refuse to let you meet the boys?
I shall have to ask them to accompany us to the station to help us complete our inquiries.
Oh, is it that serious?
Murder is usually regarded as serious. It is just to clear up one small point, sir.
Very well. Open the door, Sergeant. Come in, Lester. Bring the others with you. That's it. And sorry about the crush. Can't be helped. Now, Chief Superintendent, could we continue?
Not me, sir. Inspector Gregg has the inquiry.
Right. Now, remember, boys, if at any time you don't wish to answer or you require advice, I'm here to help you.
Oh, nothing like that, Dr. Cartwright. Just two or three little questions, all friendly. You remember yesterday, Trevor?
Yes.
You were buying magazines when I saw you.
Yes, on photography.
And the others. Photography in a different sense, eh?
Well...
No, not to worry. Dr. Cartwright knows. They were for yourself.
Yes.
That's not what you told us yesterday, Trevor. You said you were buying them for Mr. Lester and his friends, isn't that so?
Not true, sir.
Oh, so if Dr. Cartwright or a member of staff glanced into your locker, Mr. Lester, there'd be no sign of the magazines or the paperback novels or the cigarettes.
We regard the boys' cupboards and desks and studies as very private, Inspector.
Of course, Dr. Cartwright.
And I really don't see the importance.
None, really, just curiosity. Young Mr. Walker had, as they say, goods to the value of £10 or more. On being teased a little about the nature of his purchases, he became a little embarrassed. He intimated he was little more than an errand boy. I got the impression he'd been somewhat press-ganged into the shopping trip.
£10 worth?
At least that, sir.
And cigarettes?
3 or 4 packs.
Well, do you smoke, Walker?
No, sir. I thought I might... try as an experiment, sir.
3 packets? Perhaps I should look into a few cupboards, Inspector.
You'll find the books and the cigarettes in my room, sir.
Yours, Lester?
Yes, sir. We, Thompson, Rolleston and myself, lent Walker a few pounds to help him get a present for his sister. Well, that's what he said. When he came back with the other stuff, I confiscated it, the lot, sir.
I see. Well, Walker...
Sir,
I mean, Lester said I... Will you see, sir?
Dr. Cartwright, I'm sure you'd rather sort this little problem out after we've gone.
Yes, I think I would, Inspector. Thank you.
As far as I'm concerned, you see, I was pretty cheered up to see Mr. Walker's parcel of naked ladies. Showed he was just a normal 18-year-old after all, and so are his friends. Enjoy the pictures, Mr. Lester. No, it doesn't matter. Mustn't say a word that might be used in evidence against you.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Inspector.
Get on with it, Greg.
Sorry, sir. You see, lads, I could never understand why you had apparently never spotted an attractive young female, especially when I heard from some of her friends at school, the other school, you know, that she was in the habit of walking along that particular path regularly when you were out playing cricket.
Lots of people walked along there.
Oh, yeah, well, you can describe them, perhaps, in the sort of detail you described Mr. Lewis.
Some of them, no doubt, sir.
Good, good. You see, when I made this point to Mr. Walker yesterday, he got quite confused. What did he reply, Sergeant?
Well, sir, you said you were surprised Mr. Lester and his friends hadn't nipped over the fence for a bit of you-know-what in the bracken with Linda.
Oh, really?
And Mr. Walker said, no fear, Randy would never let us touch any girl with dirty feet.
Dirty feet? Do you think that means you'd let them touch a girl with clean feet, Mr. Lester?
You bloody fool, Walker!
He is, isn't he, Mr. Lester? You see, we've checked and rechecked every statement you and your friends made, right down to Linda's ankle socks and plimsolls. I wonder how Mr. Walker knew Linda had dirty feet.
Well, sir, that's easy. There was...
Never mind, young man. I'll hear your explanation myself. With or without your assistance, Dr. Cartwright, my colleagues will question each of the others singly, either here or at the station. And this time, by God, we're going to have the truth if it takes till Christmas to get it.
Here he is, hiding his triumph in Arthur Pines.
All tied up, is it?
Charged and dumped in the remand centre overnight. Kept strictly apart until Manchester court appearance in the morning, despite all their clever lawyers.
Good idea, that, Andy. Keeping the young buggers apart for questions.
Common sense check. Randolph Lester could have prompted and probably would have prompted the others given half a chance.
Right lad, that one. Oh, but Al Capone in the making. Had half the school in the palm of his hand.
Yeah, but weren't they glad to shop him?
Prisoners turning on their jailer, Tully.
No, more than that, I think. Apart from young Walker, who was just terrorised into being a slave, the others went with him willingly. Don't forget how few Nazis there were in Germany after Hitler died.
Oh, he's philosophising in his cups.
My plot was right, then?
Pretty well. Linda would be doing him little favours for most of the summer. Lester took his pleasure in private, but he made the others perform in public, except young Walker. He only got to watch until the last afternoon.
Well, what did Linda get out of it?
Quit a time and a couple of missed periods, according to one of them.
Ashley Rolleston.
Well, Linda patient and willing was one thing. Linda pregnant was another. She scared the hell out of them when she said she'd let everybody know what was going on. Lester belted her one to shut her up and she got hysterical.
Ta-ra, Linda.
Sheer panic, Andrew.
Well, the hands on her throat initially, maybe. The old school tie around her neck was just cold-blooded murder.
But whose tie? I mean, they're all scrambling like hell to save their own skins.
For my money, it was Lester.
Well, he insisted they all took a hand in it.
Young Walker said it was Lester on his own. He chased the others back to the cricket nets while he finished her off.
Well, we'll charge him jointly and let the judge and jury pick the unlucky one.
When does Rollo get out?
As soon as the official machinery can be activated. 2 or 3 weeks, maybe.
All ready to flash it at old ladies, eh, Tully?
Among others. Let me catch him at it and he'll regret it, the dirty little swine.
Right, drink up, Jack. Time we went back in the shop to repel all the hordes of lawyers and pressmen from London. You two stay in?
For a minute or two. I owe Sergeant Tully a couple on my own account.
Well, don't go over the limit. She's been told to drive you around for the foreseeable future. If you agree, that is.
I don't understand.
Tully will tell you all about it. Come on, Jack. Night, Tully.
Good night, sir.
Good night, Andrew.
Night, Tom.
Oh, and thanks for putting us right.
Why, accidental. Purely accidental.
No, not in my book. Jack.
Oh, right, sir. Night, you two.
Good night.
Night.
What was that all about?
The transfer to records has been cancelled.
Has it now?
You're to be offered CID again, as before, with gilt-edged prospects of promotion after this little lot. And I'm to revert to being your sergeant, temporarily.
Really?
You don't seem very pleased.
Oh, I am, but you working with me. I'm not sure records wouldn't have been safer for my last 6 months of service.
You're still going?
I ought to. We'll see.
You're funny.
Funny, yeah.
Well, if Jack Wallace had pulled off what you've done, he'd be as tight as a tick and telling the world what a genius he is.
Yeah, well, I'm not displeased, but...
You're still thinking about Dr. Cartwright.
Darling, you're psychic. In half an hour today, we destroyed almost everything he spent 30 years creating. His career, his trust in his boys, and his faith in his own values and judgments. We murdered him. And he didn't deserve it, Tally.
Agreed. You ready to go?
Go? Where, for God's sake?
Somewhere slightly less public.
What for?
Oh, dear. Do I have to spell it out? Let's have a couple of drinks to start with. And after that, Andrew Gregg, it depends on you.
In Broken Fences by Ivor Wilson, Jack Carr played Andrew Gregg, and Jane Collins, Sergeant Tully.